This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. I'm actually driving home today. So I just finished breakfast with a friend. Always have lovely, lovely breakfasts with him. We are of like mind and... Oh, we'll stop that. We are of like mind and have a lot of the same interests. And so there's just all kinds of topics that we can discuss. And so... It's good. My life is rich. Goodness, it's rich. So, I'm out on the mid part of town. And I'm gonna hit the highways and head back home. Have a little bit of work to do today, although yesterday was pretty good. I didn't necessarily come up with the solutions for this stuff, but I assisted in a couple of different problems that we have been, well, one of them we've been fighting for months, and I just didn't have enough permissions and enough access to get the thing dug out. But with AI and with the appropriate permissions and appropriate access, we finally dug down in and figured out where it was. So, yay for that. We had a problem with missions. Getting them closed, we just suddenly... We had suddenly one of our processes just refused to create PDFs for us that we needed to email to the missionaries, and it just wouldn't create them. And it was like a day and a half that we were wrestling with that thing. But again, with the assistance of AI and with finally getting enough permissions and digging down and figuring out what log files we were supposed to be looking at, and, you know, as soon as we had the information that we needed, then it was like, oh, that's what's happening. So, and it was just, it turned out being that the account that was driving the creation of the PDFs had gotten locked. It was still logged in, but it had gotten locked, and so it couldn't get any file access. And every time we tried to write anything to the location where all the PDFs were supposed to do, they'd all just completely error off. So, man, that was exciting. But... That appears to be okay now, and we appear to have solved a problem with an employee who had retired years ago, months ago, and she kept getting emailed these notifications, and we looked and looked and looked, and I kind of knew where it had to be, but we couldn't ever just put our finger on it. And yesterday, I think they finally used AI and got down in deep enough into the bowels of the beast to pull that out. And, you know, honestly, I said that I wanted to be involved and not retire. I just wanted to hold on a little more so I could watch this transition over to using AI in the IT stuff. And we just have examples every single day of stuff that they were just no way we would have it. And we could get it eventually with enough research and with enough studying of manuals, and that we could put. I mean, it was like when we were trying to figure out what the problem was with this, you know, we asked the AI, and it was like, well, okay, on this particular type of server, you need to go down into this folder, and you need to look at you know, there'll be these logs that'll be in this folder, grab those, get them to where I can take a look at them, and I, you know, and then immediately it just says, oh yeah, the problem is you got this, that, and the other, and it's like, oh man, you know, here we go. So it is useful. It is very, very useful. And we just have more and more and more and more and more situations where the guys just are completely reliant, because it's so much faster to use AI to dig the stuff out. I mean, it's pretty impressive. So, and we're definitely getting work done with it. So all those things are good, you know, it's all good. And we're figuring out ways more and more and more to leverage, you know, what we can do. So speaking of which, I need to get home and make some notes so that I need to take some of my stuff. I was asked to take some of my stuff and move it in to, move it into some repositories so the AI could use it for its intelligence. And I need to make notes to myself to remind myself, oh yeah, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do that and the other. And then today I'm also providing a little more support, because the guy who is on support for this week, it's gonna be today and Tuesday, he's out both of those days. So I'm going to be monitoring the support a little bit today, which is fine, which is just fine. So yeah, all is well, all is well. It's just an amazing adventure. I'm finishing up on Mr. Potato Head. I think he's all ready to go. The question is going to be, what doors can I actually get him through? I was checking the doors at the restaurant. And I think maybe I might be able to get through the door of that. We'll see. We'll see. That's on Saturday. Anyways, So that'll be fun. I did make a lot of updates to Mr. Potato Head. And so he's going to be easier to kind of get on and off individually as just me by myself. And so I think I've got all that worked out. Although, in the process, I created some sharp edges on the inside of that. So I have to be a little careful. Otherwise, you know, I leave bruises. But you know, it's all for the craft. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I did forget to ask my wife if I could borrow her van for a few hours this weekend, but I think we'll be all right. I'll ask her when I get home. So that's all ready to go. Once I get through Mr. Potato Head, then, next week is Being Angel Day. And so that's always a little bit physically challenging, because it's a 20-25 pound kind of a backpacky thing that has the mechanical wings in it, and I'm carrying it around for an hour, which it should be fine. It's, you know, hour and a half, it should be fine. Sometimes when I have breakfast, though, towards the end of the breakfast, it's like, okay, I'm ready to stand up and move around. So I really love the angel costume, though, because the mechanical wings, you know, when they expand out and they're 10 feet in diameter, or 10 feet diameter, yeah, they 10 feet wingspan. When I punch that button and those wings open up, people's eyes just get real big. It's always just so fun. So anyway, so the costumes are going fine. Once we get through those two, then it's a sprint. It's a sprint to Halloween. So going to be a lot to do to get the Halloween stuff under control. And I don't actually have one of the costumes in yet. I'm I just went ahead and ordered stuff from China because it was going to be so much cheaper and so much faster to do that. But one of the pieces I don't have in yet, so that's getting, hopefully getting mailed here in a few days, and hopefully it gets here, and because, you know, they say, well, you know, if we don't mail it by now, we'll refund your money, but that doesn't actually get me that costume, so hopefully, we'll see, I'm sure it'll be fine, or I'll find something else, but anyway, so yeah, so all is well there, and I think that's it for new costumes for the year. You know, we'll just coast out the year with the existing stuff we have because they're all fun, and so all that is good. Writing is fine. I'm just waiting for the proof copies. I am working on the new book on parables, so it'll be called Still Whispers Secrets. And I'm just going to go through the parables of Jesus that I find interesting and that I find have things in them that are easy for us to miss, that significantly change our understanding of this adventure. And so I'm working on that right now. That's going to be a little longer book than The Life's Prayer was. I would imagine it'll be 200 or 300 pages by the time I'm done. But that's going to be fine as well. So I'm probably going to have to get right at it as soon as I get back home. And there won't be a whole lot of time to sit in the garage and chat and confer with my notes. Unfortunately, because this could be a lot better if I conferred with my notes. Because I wanted to talk about, in general, Elon Musk's TerraFab, which is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. My buddy and I at breakfast were talking about Elon Musk and his plans, you know, to go to Mars and to this, that, and the other. And my buddy is all for it, and he was saying, but some people think that Elon Musk is just shaking his fist in the face of God. And, you know, honestly, all of technology can be seen as shaking our fist in the face of God and saying, I will be faster, I will be stronger, I will be smarter, I will not be subject to your curse. But by the same token, the Bible does tell us that it is the glory of God to hide a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. And I just see Elon Musk and all these other people as kings who are seeking things out and discovering things, and there is so much to discover. It's unbelievable how every aspect of life is deeper than we expect. And so good for Elon Musk going after all that kind of stuff, but he has reacted to what, you know, he believes is an existential crisis in terms of the number of chips that we're going to need, and he has decided that he's building, you know, a factory unlike any other factory, which it's, I was watching a thing where they were looking at the renderings of the TerraFab that Elon Musk had put out, and this thing is, it's mind-bogglingly massive. It's just crazy. Let me just see if I can find in my very small notes here real quick as to how big, you know, obviously the world can't make enough chips. I mean, we all know that at this point. And so this thing is 100 million square feet. It's 100 million square feet. It's like, yeah. So it's getting constructed in Grimes, Texas, 100 million square feet. From the perspective, the Pentagon contains roughly 6.5 million square feet of floor area. The Boeing Everett factory in Washington, the enormous building where Boeing has assembled wide-body airplanes, is famous for being the world's largest building by volume. Terrafab isn't merely trying to join that category. It is attempting to create an entirely new category of industrial structure. The first phase alone represents more than $16.8 billion of capital investment, expected to create 3,000 jobs. It's just unbelievable when you look at the size. So, anyway, so, you know, but that wasn't kind of the big story this week. I mean, Musk is claiming that this factory, you're going to be able to do everything there. Design the chips, make the templates, what do they call them? Make the, oh, I've just lost the name for them. I don't know. It's what they use that once you build the template and then you can just, you know, you can mass produce them. But you'll be able to produce the chips, test the chips, figure out where if there's an error, go right back to the design people, same building, have them fix it, create a new, you know, whatever it is, template, something, burn some more chips, do the things, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Including with what's called X-ray lithography chip manufacturing, which allows for really high density of chips. So you can make really, really small components with this X-ray lithography. What's interesting is that the only factories in the world now that are doing X-ray lithography are using this process where they take tiny droplets of tin and they hit it with lasers and explode those tiny droplets of tin and release all this really powerful energy. And then from that, they like channel the ultraviolet light. It's just crazy stuff. Ultraviolet light into whatever. And so, and that's what they use for this ultraviolet light, short ultraviolet light lithography way of manufacturing chips that is highly specialized and it's used in the most complicated, et cetera, et cetera. And there's only a few, like, whatever. There's only ASML, I think is the company that does this. But it's a dirty process, and because the tin has after particles that are, it kind of cloud the mirrors and things when you keep having to use this stuff. You know, the tin, doing it with tin is dirty. So there's another way to do it that can be theoretically done. No one's built one yet, but all the science says it can be done, and that is you use a particle accelerator, and this particle accelerator then takes free electrons and accelerates these electrons at a specific speed, and you can make ultraviolet light out of them. Well, when the pictures of the Terrafab came out, there's a giant circle in the center of the pictures, and somebody said, "Is that the particle accelerator?" And Elon Musk just texted six letters. He said, what was it? F-E-L. FTW, something like that, which was free electron rate laser for the win. So they are actually planning that the heart of this thing is going to be this particle accelerator that can create free electron lasers so that they can do ultraviolet light lithography without nearly the overhead expense and complexities of using tin. It's just, it's never been done before. It's just so crazy. 100 million square feet. It's a wow. What a time to be alive. This is it's such bold reach. It just, goodness. Oh man. So yeah, I mean, there's so many things that's moving, and all of it is enabling stuff that just seems mind-boggling in pretty much every aspect of life, including the finances. So I was looking, I was listening while I was working on Mr. Potato Head. I was listening to the Moonshots podcast, and they had a young man on there named Kush, who is 23 years old. He and his buddies at MIT started a company when he was 22 last year. And it has something to do with compute and pricing compute and making compute available and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in a year, his company has gone from zero to being worth like, or he's worth, maybe it's he's worth, or the company's worth, or I don't know. Maybe he's worth like $100 million now, and the company's worth like $300 million. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. It's crazy. But you know, that's the times we live in. It sure makes a lot of people mad. They're just so mad about all this stuff. But you know, it's fascinating. So I don't know where this is all going, but Jesus knows, and he's with us, and it really is going to be an amazing time. I'm back home. I gotta go get to work. I have made it home. This is Phil Ferrand. Have a great weekend, everyone.